time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, October 17th.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here. Hump day.
Hump day. I kind of want to get humped.
You do?
Yeah. You never know.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who'd love to hump you.
No,
you just
picky.
Have to put out the word.
Yeah, I'm really picky, though.
Yeah.
I don't need AIDS. Thank you.
You can survive without for a while, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We don't have a choice. Sometimes you have to.
Exactly.
So how are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. I mean, I had weird dreams last night.
Really?
Yeah, it was like crazy. I'm like, I guess all this stuff is like stirring up. Like I said, all these healing things I'm doing, it makes you confront your own like demons.
Wow.
And this dream that I had, this was so crazy. I like went crazy on my mom. Like we were like fighting and I would never do this. Like I threw her down the stairs and like I was like, ha! Like, I don't know. I clearly wasn't me. It clearly was like me in a dream. And I was like, I don't know. It was so weird. It was like, there were dolls all in my room, and I grew up with a lot of dolls, like tons of dolls collected from all around the world. My mother would get me, and I started noticing, I guess I was a little girl again, and I started noticing that there were missing dolls, and I'm like, why are dolls missing from my room? And then I found out my mother was selling them or giving them away or like getting rid of them behind my back and like taking them away from me, like my most treasured favorite dolls ever, and like would rip them away and like sell them and then or give them to my sister or somebody.
Wow.
And it was like this whole like
devastating
feeling, devastating moment of like someone who gave me these things ripping them away for no reason and not understanding why. And I thought like, you know, she loved me, yet she was ripping them away. And it was this crazy thing. And we got in this huge fight. And then I'm like, it was like, then I threw it out, like, down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I would never really do that.
Right.
But it was like so crazy. And so I woke up and I'm like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh my gosh. So there's a bunch of things when I was younger that my parents ripped away from me that I loved so much.
Mm.
They took away that I've clearly never let go of.
Right.
And I'm realizing what they are. And it wasn't the dolls. It was just a representation of all
right.
the things.
You see, I think it's coming back because you had that conversation with your mom that told you, you know, don't come. And I think it's clearly a reflection of that, you know? It's like she's sort of like turning away from you or something, you know? And
maybe because
I mean, I'm not a dream weaver.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
and I think it has to do with, like, my new career changes and stuff that I've decided to do and that too. But I think that it has a lot to do with, like, I've been confronting inner demons a lot recently.
Mm.
And I know, like, there was this one incident that I've never forgiven my parents for. And it came up yesterday. Like, I had a palm reading yesterday, by the way. And he's going to come in later this week. And he's, I mean, this stuff's crazy.
Really?
Like, this, I'm like, how?
Okay, well, this is something he can actually show us. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, like, on your hand, what marks mean. And, like, what your ages are. And, like, I'm like, and it was crazy. So yesterday it came up and he was like, something happened when you were 8 or 9. He's like, I'm thinking it looks more towards like 8.5, 9. And I'm like, and he doesn't, you can't say anything until he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's done with everything, he goes, okay, can you confirm these things? Am I right? Am I wrong? Is it off by years? Is it whatever? So I know where I am before I continue.
Right.
And I was like, everything was right on. I have nothing to say. And when I was 8 or 9, there was this, I started acting. And he's like, this is what changed your life.
Mm.
And I started acting and I came out of my shell. And then something else, he's like around 11 or 12 happened. And my parents ripped it away from me.
Wow.
I was like 11-ish around there. I don't remember, around 11 or 12. And the theater, it was the last show of the theater. And I was the star and took years to finally get to like to be the star. And I proved myself. And it was the last play the theater ever had, which we didn't know at the time.
Oh.
And my parents ripped it away from me, took it away because I got like one bad grade. Wow. And I never forgave them because the theater closed down and never reopened. And that place was like, I can't explain it. It was like my sanctuary. Like, yeah. I love this place. My dream is like when I become successful, like I want to buy back the whole building and turn it into a theater again.
Right.
Because it's not a theater right now. It's a trinket shop and they won't sell it. And it's just, it's a historical piece.
Right.
So you can't tear the building down. So like, that's cool. But like, it goes back from like 1800s. This was always a theater. And right. I want to give it back to the kids because I know what I experienced.
Right.
And I never forgave my parents for that.
Wow.
And it came up in the reading yesterday. Yeah. And I guess that's why I had this dream, because there's a bunch of things that I thought of that were ripped away that I was heartbroken over.
Yeah.
And whether it's people my parents tore me apart from that I've reconnected with recently or, you know, in the past, or it's places or it's things or it's just they meant so much. And
right.
Obviously, I'm not over it. And this dream last night, I woke up and I was like, wow, I need to get that. I need to just let go of it. Like,
yeah.
This is so stupid and so crazy. Years. And I kind of want to call my mom because there are a bunch of dolls, actually, that I've been saving
really?
At my parents in boxes that are, you know, I wanted to give to my kid one day because they're really expensive, nice, collectible dolls. And I am curious because I think she was saying something like, I'm going to give them away.
Oh, God.
So, like, not
yeah,
that
why
I would
you do that, you know?
Not I mean, that I would, because she, that's what they do. And
right.
And not that I would go crazy over it. I would be hurt, you know?
Right.
But then why would I be hurt?
Yeah.
So then it's like all these things. So anyway, that was this weird thing that I woke up with. And
yeah.
I'm in.
So obviously, yeah, you stirred some things inside
yeah.
of you during that reading. So,
yeah.
So that came up, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting stuff, you know?
It's really fascinating.
And yeah, I mean, dreams are just like, you know, they're weird, they're crazy, but,
yeah.
but you know, I just think it's like, what happened?
I just want to say what I did. I drank water, and it splashed in my face, and my face is soaking wet, and it went up my nose, and all over my dress, and it's water, and
it's
I don't
water.
Know
it's
what,
okay.
yeah, and so that's why I'm laughing right now. And I just like snorted it in my nose.
Yeah,
a bottle
that,
of
water. That's a shitty feeling too, huh?
How does that happen?
When you
know.
Breathe water.
I don't know. So stupid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, well, I'm glad you're feeling better and stuff. You know, I mean, yeah, dreams will stay with you the whole friggin' day sometimes,
yeah.
huh?
It's weird, but it's such like I feel like since that happened, like I need to confront it and figure it all out. But it's cool because this reading yesterday was like. When he comes in, it's crazy. Like, I didn't realize the whole art of palm reading. Because you go to, like, palm readers, and they're like, ooh, and they don't even look at your palm, if you've noticed. And you're like,
really?
What are you doing? You know, they look at it, and they look at one hand, and I've been to a lot of crap things. And Miss Guy Samba, who will be coming on later, I think it's tomorrow or Friday, I don't remember.
Tomorrow. Yeah, Friday we're going to have the guy that called yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's another author. Oh, actually, he was on America's Talent.
America's Got Talent?
Yeah, yeah. He was on that.
Oh, okay.
I know. We have all kinds of people this week.
Yeah.
But so Samba's amazing. And, like, what's cool is he looks at your hands and examines the one hand first. Mm. Tells you everything from, like, how old you were. Even it could be a month, he might tell you, whatever. And then you'll confirm it, and then he'll go and be like, okay. So it's cool because we'll talk about it more tomorrow.
I yeah, I think it's
but
better
it
if we wait
so,
for that.
I feel so much better. I feel like a huge
but
relief.
Why do you feel better? I mean, you know, the thing is if he just, you know, has several hits on,
But it was every single one.
Right.
And he went through every
okay, so he proved to you that he can do something.
Yeah.
So what, then he was giving you advice and stuff?
No, like he reads like what the lines in your hand were. Like it can tell every major relationship you've had.
Mm-hmm.
If when you've broken up, how many years it was, when someone else came into your life. And like, and he hit every single one on the spot, which was
right.
interesting. And then it goes into, and my biggest thing is right now I feel like I'm, and it's funny, he's like, well, right now you're at a crossroads, but
right.
I feel like you've made your decision. He's like, you're right past that. You've made your decision. You're going through with it. And you need to know that the more you focus on, and this is true, like
yeah.
I am.
Uh-huh.
And I've chosen this path of, you know, focusing on my homeopathic herbalism meds. And I want to find funding for my cafe.
Right.
And that's like, the more I've been working on it this weekend, I've been business plans. The more I've been working on it, the more, like, my ex will talk to me or other things in my life will happen that I want
to
happen.
You're making yourself available,
It's like the more I focus on me, the more acting jobs I get or other doors open up. Whatever it is, the things that I want that aren't happening are happening. And he's like, you just need to know the more you focus on you and this plan, this is like a solid plan. And he's like, it's going to happen. He's like, it looks like August is when everything is what you want is in place. And it's funny because I've been talking to a bunch of people and I have a couple people that are interested in investing and I just started my plan and I'm like, that's crazy. So this is really cool. And
Cafe, you never mentioned that before.
Yeah, it's
do you want to talk about it or do you want to wait on that?
I'm going to go into not too into detail, but it's a herbal, organic, gluten-free cafe.
Oh, wow.
But we have coffees and teas, organic, and then I have a tonic bar, like a tonic juice bar, like Exler's, meaning, which I met this girl, which that's the thing, like everything's coming in place. I met this girl this weekend who sets it all up for you in your place for like nothing.
Really?
And trains you and teaches you, and it's Chinese herbs, and I'm into healing shakes. Like I've been saying, like I want to heal people with these, with drinks and shakes.
Right.
So like, let's say you've got Lyme disease or MS or cancer and you want to go naturally and you've got all these pills that you have to take. And I know because I went through it because of Lyme disease. I'm taking like 40 pills a day, natural supplements.
Right.
It's a pain in my ass.
Yeah, it is.
I'd rather take all of it.
Is it
and
wise
shove
to take all of that though? I mean,
well, I'm cured.
Yeah.
And I'd rather take that than prescription drugs.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're herbs. It's all natural. They're they're like, you know, elderflower and, you know, like just flowers and herbs.
Right.
So if you were to take all those 40 pills and you were to dump them in one shake or an Exler shot, like a juice, or juicing is a big thing too for a lot of cancer patients.
Right.
If you were to dump it all into juicing and you were to drink one drink a day, that's equivalent. Wouldn't you rather do that?
Yeah.
And so what I want to do is have that. And then I'm going to have a I'll eventually be the doctor, but right now I need to hire other people. So homeopathic and a naturopath doctor that are there on site to come in and prescribe to you like whatever it is. So you can come into my store every day and buy the, you know, the drinks that are $8.
Right.
Or you could buy, we'll formulate an entire like a month supply for this for you and tell you what to do and you can make it at home.
Yeah.
So like that's what I want to do.
Well, that's and awesome so because I know you're passionate about this stuff, you know. So you'll do real well. You
and
know?
So it's totally different.
Yeah.
And so in a way, it's like a little bit of Whole Foods, a little bit of Irwan, you know, they're juice bars, but it's different.
Have you decided on a location yet? General area.
I'm looking around. Like I can't decide because I want it to be an area where people are healthy, like really into health. So I'm looking at Beverly Hills, obviously. Right. I'm looking at Woodland Hills.
Yeah.
Like Thousand Oaks area.
Yeah.
Not
Sherman
too
Oaks too, right out here.
I was thinking of Sherman Oaks. Was like off Ventura.
I mean, all the celebrities live here, you know, in Studio City.
Exactly, and I'm thinking like right off here, like Sherman Oaks area. I mean, Ventura area. Thinking of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's one place. I don't know if you see it every morning. It's called Sweet Butter.
I have seen that.
Did you see how popular that is? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got tables outside, and every morning, like at 10 o'clock, there's people lined up there.
And it's the same thing I want to do. I want to have like on desserts and treats for everyone, but I want them to be healthy.
Right.
So like, it's hard for me, like. When I go to a bakery, I want chocolate, but I can't have it because you put flour in it.
Right.
So, I mean, you can use rice flour instead of wheat flour. It tastes the exact same.
Right.
It's just different. It's just healthier. And and it's so much better for you. So I want to do all that. So, like, you come in and you have, like, a full little, cute little bakery and sandwiches, but they're all gluten-free.
Right,
so
that's and this is good. You know, usually these things work because what happens is, you know, many times a business starts because the person that founded it felt something was missing, you know, and they wanted it, but they couldn't find it. So they decided to create one. You
yeah.
know? That's what I did with the station, actually.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to have a radio show and I thought, okay, so I'll start it. And, you know, when you have the passion for it, then it works for you because you put in the hours, you put in the effort, you don't stop at nothing, you don't quit. You know, so it so I think, you know, I think you stand pretty good chances, you know, just stay positive, you know, and excited and passionate about it. And it'll rub off on other people. And some people, you know, somebody might decide, OK, I'll invest in this. You
and
know?
It's cool because I've already had a few people that were interested, which is awesome. And like, you know, I've got a couple of my friends that are healers as well that I'm intertwining a wellness center with it.
Right.
So which is it's so different than anything else. So I don't want to go too into that. But I have some people that some really good friends that are amazing that are going to become involved as well. And it's so I'm not doing it like I'm doing it alone because it's my idea with everything. But I'm also like they're they're going to have a piece of it. Like, right. It's their place, too.
And so, like, silent partners where they're not going to be involved in the day-to-day and things like that?
I'm having a lot of silent investors. Like, right. But then I am going to have some partners that are involved with not really the cafe side, the other side, which is, like, the practitioner side of healing people and people come in with issues or whatever.
Right.
So it's a whole other thing. But, okay. Yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, we got a phone call, so we'll continue after
that. This is
probably
our guest calling in.
Okay, let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Mo Stiegel.
Hi.
Yeah, Mo. How you doing? Thank you for calling us.
Exactly. We're very excited to talk to you. Your book sounds amazing.
Thank y'all so much.
Yeah, and I'm going through a crazy breakup, weird situation as well. So, hopefully all those people are listening.
Yeah. Where are you calling us from, Mo? Are you in L.A.?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia today.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Good
so
old
traveling.
ATL, Hotlanta.
Yeah.
So you wrote a book. What's the title of the book?
It's Why Men Are 87%... I think I did it wrong. Why Men Are 87% Responsible for the Relationship Woes Women Endure. And ain't that right? I'm glad you admit it.
Yeah. is that the title of the book?
Well, the book is entitled From the Hands of Delilah to the Arms of Samson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And if you guys don't
that's
know...
That's a mouthful, yeah. But yeah, Samson and Delilah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, cool. Well, that's a cool name. When did you write the book? Is this just... was this just released?
Book just came out October 2nd. So, we're excited about it. It cracked the top 100 of the bestsellers list at number 57.
Woohoo!
So we're working to get it to number one.
Yeah.
Good for you. Okay. Well, it's one good way to do it is to call into the show.
Yeah.
You know.
That's it.
So you claim that men are responsible for 85% of the relationship woes women endure. Now, why do you say that? What's behind that?
Well, let's think about it. When you trace the history, and listen, I am a guy who has made a number of mistakes like any other man, but the difference is right now we're trying to get men to become treasure hunters. I think a lot of men are out here and they are not looking for a jewel, which is a beautiful woman who's intelligent, who knows how to compliment him, but they in fact are looking for costume jewelry, and that is the problem. So, I say that because if you trace the history of the hurt of a woman, you can trace that back to either her father, her brother, somebody close to her, maybe it's her friend or pastor, but somewhere along the line, it has everything to do with a man.
Right. Yeah.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, naturally, yeah. but I think that's because men look for different things than women do. Right?
Yeah, and you're right. We often come into a relationship, and I often try to encourage women to do what I call inspect what you expect, because I think a lot of times women, some women are lonely, they're desperate, and they have a lot of emotions that they do not make sound decisions as it relates to the men that they are going to invite into their space. And therefore, when they come into this relationship, like from the first date, you have to ask the hard questions. And a lot of women do not ask the hard questions, so they are not able to eliminate the 90% of those who are wrong for them during that initial meeting. So, that's some of the things that I try to coach men and women right here in this book.
Right.
Right.
Now, so I would imagine you probably dated for many years to gain all this information and stuff. Did this help you in relationships, finding out the stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, I talk to men and women as I travel across the country from all different walks of life, from all different facets, and a lot of my mistakes that I've made growing and maturing as a man, and I'm pretty sure you can attest to that, it's like once you have made a couple, I've broken some hearts, I've disappointed some women, so I know how it feels to be on both sides of that spectrum. But I've now been married for over 10 years, and I have finally gotten it right.
Is this your first marriage?
It's not. It's my second.
Okay, so you learned something from the first one, obviously.
Yeah.
I learned. You have no idea what I learned from the first one.
Well, so what would be some of the questions that a woman should ask the guy on a first date?
Well, we start with a lot of times, and it's crazy that you asked me that question because I just had this experience a week ago. A woman was with this dating, I don't know if it was a dating service or whatever, but she had three eligible guys. She had three potential guys. And her first question was, well, what do y'all do? And although that could be important, at the first date, it's not important. We have to ask some hard questions like, what are your relationship goals? What are you looking for? Mm-hmm. What do you see yourself with me? What do you want this to go? We do not ask the hard questions. Are you engaged? Are you married? I just spoke with a young lady who told me she dated a man for 6 months and had no idea he was married. And my question to her was, well, did you ask? You know what her response was, y'all?
What?
No. I said, well, why not?
Okay, I will say that I've been in a situation like that before, and I had a feeling that I didn't know until later, and then I asked. But it took months for me to be like, okay, let me ask. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, right? Let me ask. So,
now, think about this. The CIA has an extensive prerequisite process. They send you through 10 weeks of orientation. And if you get past those 10 weeks, you have another 17 and a half weeks that you have to go through before they choose whether or not you're suitable to enter into their program. Now, if men and women had a prerequisite program commensurate to the CIA and the Secret Service, wouldn't we all have happier, healthier relationships?
Yeah. Isn't Match.com just like that? I think I logged on once just to like with a friend, and we were like, okay, I'm not into this dating website stuff, but I'm gonna go on with you and help you set up your profile. And she was on there, and it would like ask you so many questions. It was like the crazy personality test, and I was like, let's just make one up that you are completely psycho. It'll be really funny.
Right.
Yeah. So much for the online dating.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so. But you know, I mean, the thing is this, Mo. I think sometimes it may not be appropriate to ask on the first date what your relationship goals are, you know, because
maybe you don't know until
you don't know. And besides, you know, I mean, if someone tells you, "Oh, I'd like to get married," I mean, men will just flee, you know. I mean, the thing is, you know, on the first date.
And I will say too, like when I first meet somebody, I don't know what they're about. So I mean, I'm gonna like try and have fun with them first. Right. And it'll take like a few dates for me to figure them out and then be like, okay, what are your goals or whatever?
Right.
Because if I say it at first, I don't even know if I like you. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I say that because, as you just pointed out, if we ask certain questions early, he said, well, he might run if you talk about marriage. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
That is a excellent thing. You know why? Because if we're not aligning as far as where we see this, whether this is the person or not, if they do not have the same mindset that you have as it relates to dating, like there's a lot of men out here who have not been taught how to court a woman. They have not been taught that. So if your goal, if you're a woman and you like to be courted, but this man has no idea of how to court you, there's two things you can do. You can leave it right there at the table and go about your business. Or you can decide that you're going to work with him if he's willing. But if you don't know if you guys are on the same wavelength mentally, then it could make things a lot difficult down the line.
Right.
And I do see that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at some of the things that, you know, we can learn by reading your book or and everything. And okay, it says there's 7 secrets that make a woman irresistible to a man.
Yeah.
What are a few
Bridgetta
of them?
Wants to know that.
I do. I mean, because I meet guys all the time, but like it's they're so shallow. I mean, it's LA, like, you know what I mean? Like they just look at you and they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna bang that piece. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like really.
So Mo, you don't mean necessarily physically what makes her irresistible, because you know, obviously looks help, but it's right. More than that. Yeah,
it goes deeper there, because there's a lot. When you look at the dynamics of men and women, men oftentimes, and not every man, ladies, but there's a select of men who have different objectives when it comes to a lady, and everything isn't physical. And I think that could be the thing that kind of separates us in a relationship. Is she's thinking, well, if I just give him sex, he'll commit. And he's thinking, well, I don't want sex. I need you to affirm me. I need you to understand me. I need you to love me a little more. And again, I often tell women, if he hasn't been programmed on how to love the way that you desire to be loved, it's going to be impossible for him to give you that love that you desire.
Mm. Yeah.
That's true.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, well, we're talking to Mo. It's Stiegel, right? Stiegel?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And the book is From the Hands of Delilah to the Arms of Samson, Being the Jewel He Desperately Needs.
Becoming the Man She Essentially Desires.
Yeah. I guess he desperately needs. That's what it needs to say, but oh. It says need. So, yeah. So it's quite a mouthful for the book title, but I guess it does tell what it's about, you know.
Yeah, I like it.
How long did it take you to write the book, Mo?
It took over 9 months. I really struggled in the beginning of what things I wanted to tackle and how I wanted to lay them out so that men and women could understand it and get it. I didn't want it to be a complex book. I wanted it to be an easy read, but one that was impactful. So it took about 9.5 months to write it totally.
Oh, well, that's not bad. Yeah. And it's nice because once a book is released, it's like your little baby, right? You
Right.
Yeah. Now, to put it out there. Go ahead.
I see that you're an empowerment coach and a speaker as well. So are you traveling around and speaking to people about this? Like, I feel like you totally, people would flock to come listen to this, I feel like.
Yeah. You know, I've been an empowerment speaker, a keynote speaker for mm-hmm. quite some time now. And now, having become a relationship specialist, I'm traveling with both of those things because this is not my first book. This is actually my third book. My first book, Against All Odds, which is an empowerment guide, it went number 2 on the bestsellers list.
Good for you.
So we're very excited about both of these books, so I hope you guys go out and get them both.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And I see your website is mostiegel.com, and the last name is S-T-E-J. I'm sorry. Go
like,
ahead and
wrong?
Do this. Okay.
Wait
a minute. Hold on.
What just happened?
He said, okay.
I don't know. He's pressing buttons.
No. Your website. I knew your website would come up with audio. You know, it always happens to me on the show.
Oh my God, what just happened?
So, I know
it's God
like,
talking to us right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it sounds like God
talking.
Where is
talking. This voice coming from?
But you guys are fun.
Thank you. So the website is mostiegall.com. And I'm sure there's more information about your other books as well and your coaching and everything. And do you stop by, do you come to L.A. sometimes?
Oh, yeah. L.A. is like my second home, man. I was just there, let's see, a couple of months ago. Big Bear Mountains is where I was.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, love L.A., man. I can't wait to come back out there. You guys can book me to come out there and be a speaker for your upcoming events, man. Just go to mostiegel.com and you can fill out the booking form.
Sounds
yeah, you
good.
Know what? I really feel like you would do really well speaking out here, especially because all relationships out here are fucked up. But I really believe like people would flock to come see you. Like I could think of so many of my friends, hundreds that would come. So you should totally consider like booking and then charging, you know, for people to come. I think that would be awesome.
Well, I am open to it. If you know of any organization out there that's looking for a speaker for any upcoming events, mm-hmm. let them know Mo Stiegel is available.
I will.
And he's affordable.
I like it.
Yeah. So now finally, I see that it says here, you say that 50% of relationships end because of infidelity, and studies show that men are more likely to engage in an affair than women. Now, I've read some other things. I've read that a lot of women are like having affairs now and stuff. And, you know, but I think, yeah, it's more, well, I don't know if it's you know, more men than women, but how did you come by this information?
Well, it was a study done at Princeton, and it was a number of people that were polled for this. Mm. And although it says 50% of men will more than likely have an affair, 80% would not admit to it. So, you know, there's a contrast, a difference. And in today's society, I think there are more women who are engaging in affairs for a number of reasons, because the studies show that MSNBC did this study that 50% or 51% of all adult Americans are single. And if you up that to African American women, that goes up to 70%. And so we have to start asking the hard question, why is that?
And we can leave that for next time when you're here in the studio. We can discuss that and everything when you come to LA.
I know, you gotta come to LA and come in studio. And
you would love to do that.
Yeah, you'll be our guest for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Mo, well, thank you so much. Everybody go out and get the book, mosteagle.com. Do you have it on in bookstores as well?
Yeah, you can get it at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or online at Amazon.
Sounds good. Well, congratulations on the book.
Congratulations. I can't wait to read this.
Thank y'all so much.
And I'm
really
excited.
Thank y'all for having me, too.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to read the 10 tips to breaking toxic relationships.
There you go.
Awesome.
All right, Bo. Thank you so much and all the best to you.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Cool. That's really cool. Yeah. I kind of wanted to keep him on longer to keep talking about everything.
Yeah.
He's a cool speaker. I like it.
I know. Yeah, relationships. I mean, one could talk about them for hours, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just realized I do have the book. I mean, I'm going to read it because I didn't realize that it was sent to me via email. Mm. But, and I'll forward it to you if you want to read it.
Okay.
But, yeah, so I'm really excited to read it because I could definitely use some
advice. You could use some advice.
Who wouldn't right now, though? I mean, some people don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You see, I don't know, because I think if... You know, I would think a woman would have less problems, you know, because she can select from so many more than, you know, I mean.
That's not necessarily true. And I will say that, you know, people think that, people are like, oh, there's a ton of people. There are, but, it's not, it's hard to get out and meet people in this town. And it's, not right. What I'm looking for is,
But I'm sure even on Facebook, people probably, send you messages all the time and stuff like that, you know, but.
I don't know them, you know what I mean? I need to meet someone in person. I'm not a person that can meet someone online. I just can't do it.
Well, no, I mean, but you just, you know, you find out if they're interesting, and if so, then you meet them in person, no?
I can't
not
do that.
Into that
no,
huh?
It doesn't work that way for me.
Yeah.
I'm someone I need to meet out at a party or something, and I need to feel it, and I need to just go from there.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, because you don't go by the numbers, you know, that's what I was thinking, you know, because when you go on dating websites, it's almost like by the numbers. You have to choose someone based on logic, not based on emotions and stuff, you know. So if it doesn't look good on paper, you're not going to look at them. But at the same time, if you met them in person, you probably, you know, you could have connected.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's why those things are stupid in ways. But it's, I don't know. I mean, I also feel like, you know, when I meet someone, you know, he was saying, they may not have the same view on, they don't know how to court a woman, or they think they do, and you're different than, every person has different, you know, expectations or whatnot. So, I mean, you can train a guy, and you can teach a guy, and they do have to be willing or want to do that, because a lot of men are stubborn and are set in their ways and think that they're right, and they're not. Every person's different, and if you want to make something work, it takes two to, be able to do that and remove the ego. And I think that's a lot of things what I find, and with men, especially in these areas or recently, is a lot of guys have the ego that are still there, and they don't realize that there's just let go of that. It's not about that. It's about communication and trying to go deeper and figure that out. But also if you've got a lot of issues from your past relationships, because I always think that when you date someone, you're dating them and everyone else they date.
Everybody else.
And all the baggage that comes with it until they let go of it.
Right.
And realize that. So it's maybe a lot of guys, you know, you may get hurt from past relationships. So you put up a guard, you're trying to be macho, and you're trying to not let anyone know that you really care. And that's I'm sorry, my age? That's not, you're 30s.
Yeah, that's not appealing to you.
You should be over that.
Huh?
You need to, and maybe it's hard for you, but you need to figure it out and you know, work with me on that.
Yeah, learn how to talk to a woman.
Yeah, and a lot of guys I find, you know, some do. I have so many guy friends that I will talk to, and thank God, a lot of my friends are there. And that helped me through situations or whatnot. Because if I didn't have them, I wouldn't know how to what, you know, the other person is thinking
so
or how
to advice.
And, right. And then there's, but those guys, you know, and that's awesome. And then there's a lot of guys that just have no clue. Like, they can give you advice, but when they're in a relationship, they don't know how to, they're like, I don't know. And they think they do, and then they don't. And then, you know, it's all communication. Like, literally, that's what it was.
It is, you know, because, I mean, if you know who you're talking to and they know who you are, you don't have to play the games, you know. And but some people, I think, are just afraid to show who they are, you know. And maybe it's the right thing. Maybe they are assholes, you know.
And
they don't want people to see it.
And I feel like that's not the case with everyone. I feel like they're scared to let them know who they are because they let their guard down at some point, and some girl ripped it away.
Yeah.
And that sucks. But you can't carry that on for every relationship.
Yeah, no, you can't. I mean, it gets in the way every time, you know.
And I have friends that are like, keep your walls up, keep your walls up. You wouldn't be so hurt if you didn't have your walls up. But you know what? That's not true, because I had my walls up for years. And it wasn't until, I'd say, a year ago where I learned to just finally take them down. And I've learned to, like, really, truly, like, care about people, let them know. Because I also feel like if you don't let your walls down, that person will be lost. They're going to be gone. And then you're going to be like, well, that was the one that got away. Because tell you what, like, you know, mostly they will not, people will not wait around.
Right.
Like, you know, I can love someone so much as I do right now. But I'm not going to wait around.
Right.
I can't. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And that goes for a lot of situations. Like, my advice to all is just, like, don't keep your walls up. Like, if you're young, I get it. But if
Exactly. Because, I mean, that's what they say is that the walls we build around us when we're young to protect us become our prison walls when we grow up.
They are, because that's not what... Like, I and most people, when you're building a relationship, you want a strong foundation. Like, I want to make sure there's never going to be a divorce, not going to be crazy breakups, and the stupid arguments. That can all be fixed if you build a strong foundation, meaning, like, I need to know what you're thinking, and vice versa. And as difficult as it may be for someone to break down those walls, you need to figure out how to do it. And you need to, like, be open to just, you know what, you may get hurt, but you have to, like, you know, break down those walls. Because if you don't, then you're not going to have a solid foundation for a relationship.
Yeah, nobody will be with you.
And you are going to, it's going to be nothing but fights and whatnot, because you're too scared to open up how you really feel. And I see that with, you know, friends of mine and a lot of relationships, you know, and it's like, that's sad, because until that happens, you're never going to be happy.
Right, yeah. But people have to find it out by themselves, you know, and and there's so many different aspects to a relationship, you know, that it's hard to generalize, you know, what it is. But I agree with you about the walls, you know, and I think many people do keep those around them. And, you know, if it's a wall, it's a wall. Nobody will get through, you know. So you know. But dating is complicated, man. I mean, the thing is, I don't know why people have to make it that way, but it is, you know. And women come with expectations and stuff, you know. You go on these dating sites and you see all the laundry lists they make of what they want, you know. I mean, I don't know if a man like that exists, you know.
I mean, so, I know what I want, and you're right, but I am going to be picky in a way, because I've seen it all. And it's like, I've been always picky, and you change too, like, as you grow older, you know, like, you realize, okay, I want this, but now I want this molded a little bit more. And then I want this person, but I want to add a little bit of this. And then I don't want that, because I just had that and that didn't work. So now I want, you know, and like, it comes with the guys too. Like, you figure out what you want as you grow. And I don't know. I mean, I want, like, a challenging, like, mind-stimulating relationship. Like, that's what I look for, is, like, intelligence and being able, things that you can work on. Like, you know, and maybe you don't always agree, and you don't have to, but it's the conversation that you, like, work, you know what I mean, and work on and figure out, not running away and letting, you know, whatever.
No, I think the most important ingredient is mutual respect, you know.
That's
because
huge.
Yeah, because, huge. You know, I mean, if you treat someone like shit, then the relationship's not going to work out, they're going to resent you, and what's the point, you know, so... I think respect, and it always starts with yourself, you know. If you don't respect yourself, you can't respect other people.
Right.
You know? And I see a lot of people like that, that you can tell they don't respect themselves, the way they behave, the way they look, the way they dress, things like that, you know, the way they treat people. So, so that's that. We went to a jazz evening last night with one of the hosts here. And, you know, I mean, jazz is not one of my favorites, not even top three. But nevertheless, you know, modern jazz is good, but this wasn't really modern jazz.
I like jazz.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. But you know what? After a while, when you just sit and watch jazz, if you're not doing something else, it can get repetitive, you know. And
so, you need to be drinking a lot of booze.
Yeah, I know. Well, we did, you know, because I had to drive. But but we ate. You know, the amazing thing, though, I got to ask you, you know, I mean, people ask you to come to a show and stuff. And then you go and you realize it's like a $4 sign place. You know what that means? $4 signs.
Oh, yeah. That's like super expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you go in there and you find out that it's you have to pay admission, $20, and then a minimum of 2 drinks or a dinner. So, you know, you go 3 people, you figure, oh, we're fucked.
You're like, shitballs.
You know, so you go and, but, you know, I mean, I question the wisdom of, you know, inviting people to a place where they have to spend a lot of money, you know, not letting them know about it.
Yeah, you have to tell everyone. You have to be like, here's the place. I will let you know it's a little pricey, but it's worth it because of the music or whatever, or the food or whatever it is. You have to let them know.
Yeah.
Like, I would be really pissed if... Well, you know what? I'm not stupid, though. Any place you tell me I'm going to go, I'm going to look it up beforehand.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah, no, you should, you know.
Okay, I'll make that decision now if I feel like spending, you know, $40 on an entree.
Yeah, exactly. I just found out when I looked up on Google Maps, and then they have that little ratings for restaurants, too.
Exactly.
So, so we went, you know, I mean, it was fun.
Which place
was
it?
You know, you go with, it's called Catalina Bar and Grill.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. It's a nice place, actually.
It's cute. It's nice. I like that. A really good jazz place that you should definitely check out. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's not four. It's probably like three places. But it's so worth it. It's called Vibrato, Vibrato Jazz. And that's in, it's off Beverly Glen. So it's kind of like,
you know, I probably wouldn't go out of my way to be in a jazz club, you know.
It's so beautiful, though, there.
Yeah.
It's piano, and it's really cool feel. Like, I don't know. I think you should definitely check it out at some point. Yeah.
You see, jazz is cool. If you go to a place and you chat with people and everybody talks and stuff and it's in the background, it's cool. But to sit there and watch them, it's not like watching a rock concert where something's happening on the stage.
Right.
You know, and also I think inviting people where they have to spend a lot of money, like if you know when you go get married in Mexico and you invite everybody to go there, you know, and pay their own way.
Right.
You know,
well, Mexico's pretty cheap, but I do see what you're saying.
Well, Mexico, okay, Europe. You know, some people get married in Europe, they invite everybody to come down there. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun, but you know, not everybody can afford it.
Right.
So.
That used to be something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get married in a castle somewhere in Europe and be like, if you can make it, cool. If you can't, oh well, I pay for immediate family only.
Yeah.
Now I'm over that.
Yeah. Let's see, what's in the news? I guess...
Well, the debate was last night.
The debate was last night. I missed it because we went to the thing, but obviously there was a lot of feedback on it, a lot of analysis and everything.
So many people on Facebook are writing about it. I didn't want to watch it because I didn't give a shit.
Yeah. I know, because they keep saying the same things over and over, you know?
Exactly, it's the point.
Yeah. But so everybody was just bad-mouthing Romney like crazy on Facebook last night, you know, and it occurred to me this is not – people don't view this like a political debate. They view this like a boxing match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, there's a jab here. There's a, you know, a punch there. There's this. There's that. And, I mean – It shouldn't be about who wins the debate. It should be about who's got the message, who is electable.
Right.
You know. So then they got on Mitt Romney because he mentioned binders of women.
Yeah.
And did you hear about that one?
I did hear about that. And my girlfriend wrote something like, "Who has the right to tell me what is good for my vagina?" I think this is like all on Facebook.
But that's not what he was talking about.
I don't know. I was reading.
Here, let me play you the clip. I'll just play real short, and you'll see the context that it came in. I don't think it was terrible at all.
Go out and find women who had backgrounds that could be qualified to become members of our cabinet. I went to a number of women's groups and said, "Can you help us find folks?" And they brought us whole binders full of women. I was proud of the fact that after I staffed my cabinet and my senior staff, that the University of New York in Albany did a survey of all 50 states and concluded that mine had more women in senior leadership.
So that's essentially what he said. I don't, you know, I don't see a problem with that, but whatever. Maybe I'm blind. But there's definitely a lot of... I'm thinking of unfriending a few more people on Facebook that are starting to irritate me.
Really?
You know? Yeah, I mean, you add those friends, you don't even know who they are. Then they start opening their mouth and you go, what the fuck are you doing on my page, you know?
I don't agree with a lot of things that my friends write. I mean, we have different views, but some of it is just hilarious. So
yeah.
That's why I'm like,
oh, the funny stuff is good, yeah, but some of
vicious. This is what my girlfriend wrote. This is so funny. This is kudos to Krista, by the way. I've known her since fourth grade.
Yeah.
Because Romney had a binder full of qualified applicants whom were women, he cares about my vagina. I'd like to make him eat his own dick. I was like, that's hilarious. She's just, her comments, like, during the whole thing are the most hilarious thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is hilarious.
She commented on Twitter or something? Or
on Facebook.
On Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, let's say Obama won. So, big fucking deal, you know. But we'll see. I mean, it's very fucking close. I'm wondering if it's going to be like a landslide one way or another when the election finally happens, you know? Because these polls are sometimes so fucking wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so... anyway, so talking about... you know, I started talking about Lance Armstrong. You've heard about the whole doping deal and everything about him? No? Yeah, they're accusing him of taking drugs, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, and...
I don't know if I believe that, because...
Well, they're saying there's pretty insurmountable evidence, you know, so it's not... I would imagine they're not just going to go to the world champion and try to shame him like this if they didn't have any evidence, any strong evidence. So, so that sucks, you know, because, I mean, the thing is that... You know, you constantly, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but if it is, it's total bullshit, you know, because, I mean, you support the guy, you make him into a hero, you make him into a champ, and then you find out that he was cheating, you know?
Yeah.
And that's shameful, I think. So, apparently he resigned, he stepped down as the chairman of the Live Strong organization that he started. So,
yeah, see, what's interesting is I know a lot about this because, oh, yeah, my friend just wrote something on Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with a friend of mine that I grew up with in Maryland. Uh-huh. He's like one of the heads of the foundation. His foundation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I actually went with them to the ESPY Awards when he hosted it.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. I mean, my other friend writes for Sports Illustrated and, oh, I'm sorry, ESPN now. And he wrote an article on it, and it's called, he says, what Lance Armstrong did was an inspiration to me in my darkest hour, even though it was later revealed to be a lie.
Yeah.
And if you go to espn.go.com, you can click on the story by Arash Merkazi, and it says, cancer survivor reflects Lance Armstrong.
Mm. Yeah,
and
that's
it's a whole
too
story
bad,
on
man.
What happened, because he writes for ESPN, but you guys should definitely check this article out.
Yeah. But, you know, what baffles me is these athletes really think they're not going to be found out. I mean... Come on, you know, I mean, they do all these testing, these tests all the time, and, you know, I mean, you're going to get caught eventually. So I don't understand why these people still think they can get away with it, but they do,
yeah.
You know, they try. So,
such crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get down to the bottom of it and find out for real.
Yeah. You know, I'm still trying to figure out the guy that jumped from space. I'm still trying to find out how long it took him from the moment he jumped until he got to the ground. And I can't find it fucking anywhere, man. Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, I don't...
How long did it take? You know, I mean, I know it probably took like, you know, maybe a minute or two with his free fall or maybe more. I don't know, but... You know, but I mean, it must have taken a while once he opened his parachute. But remember I asked you, how does he end up landing in the same place he started?
Right.
Well, apparently he doesn't. He ended up 23 miles away. But there was he had a beacon and a helicopter found him. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. There's a lot of technology involved and stuff, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, I mean, they videotaped the thing. Did you actually see a footage of it?
No.
Yeah, I don't know if it's out yet or not, but... I'm going to look for it. Yeah, it would be really interesting to see what he saw.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
whoa.
I also want to give a shout out for Ray Lewis because Ray Lewis is having surgery today on his right triceps. He's been placed on the reserve injured list designated for return. And they were actually talking about him. This could be his last game because of it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, according to the Ravens, it's very important. And there, it means he can possibly come back. Coach John Harbaugh says, we're going to keep the door open. Lewis's friend and former teammate Shannon Sharp says Lewis won't make the decision to return or retire until after he completes rehab. Mm. How much do you love Ray? Yeah. I'm going to send a shout out for Ray Lewis today because okay. He is getting a surgery.
All right. Sounds good. I didn't realize we were out of time. I was going to talk about a couple things here. But anyway, so tomorrow we're going to have Samba, did you say? The palm reader?
Yeah, palm reader Samba will be in studio tomorrow.
Okay,
yep.
Well, we'll put him to the test and see what he can do.
Oh, he's awesome.
All right. All right, Brigitta, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.